Did you know that humans are not the only ones lining up and showing their arms to get vaccinated?
Do you suppose we'll meet any wild animals?
We might. Animals that eat straw? Some, but mostly lions and tigers and bears.
Lions?
And tigers?
And bears.
Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my.
Lions and tigers and bears.
Okay, it's actually gorillas, lions and tigers and gorillas, and anteaters, but they are all on the list at Franklin Park and Stone Zoos to get vaccinated against COVID-19. The zoos, which are owned by Zoo New England, are among zoos across the country taking steps to protect their most vulnerable animals from the virus. We find this fascinating and obviously a little fun because we got to work in The Wizard of Oz. So we invited Dr. Chris Bonner, who is the senior veterinarian in Zoo New England's Animal Health Department, to join us, and he did. Dr. Bonner, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
So this is fascinating. I have so many questions, Dr. Bonner, and we got a little playful there, but let's start with the business at hand. Why are you vaccinating zoo animals for COVID-19?
Okay, well, we always try to provide the highest possible level of care for all our animals here. And to do that, we want to provide the most sophisticated level of medical care. And the bedrock of good medical care is excellent preventive medicine. So as part of having a good preventive medicine protocol, we wanted to vaccinate the susceptible species for the coronavirus. And we're very fortunate that there has been a veterinary product developed by Zoetis Laboratories, and they're very generously making about 11,000 doses of that vaccine available to accredited zoos. So we're one of about 70 zoos that is participating in this program, so that we can get the species that we have here at the zoo that are sensitive to this virus vaccinated to prevent disease in them.
Okay, so a couple things. First, I just want to acknowledge for listeners, we have a little bit of a sound delay. So just acknowledging that. You said susceptible species. So that means you're telling us that there are species of animals in the zoo who can get COVID-19, and I'm assuming for whom they can get seriously ill, that this isn't just asymptomatic cases. Is that correct?
That is correct. It's been documented to cause a disease in primates. It's been documented to cause a disease in cats and in otters and related animals. And while there have been no fatalities in U.S. zoos, there have been fatalities of large cats in zoos in foreign countries. So there have been some deaths of lions and tigers in India and Pakistan and zoos there. So and with the rise of new and more virulent variants, we were very eager to get our species that are known to be sensitive to the virus vaccinated to prevent illness in them.
So, and to understand, are there any endangered species on this list where a loss of a single animal, I understand there haven't been deaths in the U.S., but there have been elsewhere, where a loss of a single animal is like a species level loss?
Oh yes. The gorillas and other apes and many other primates are endangered. So are things like, tigers, snow leopards, animals like that. So there are a lot of endangered or even critically endangered species on the list of animals that we want to vaccinate.
So Dr. Bonner, you said a minute ago that there is a veterinary product, and I do want to clarify on this. These are not vaccines that would otherwise be going to human beings while we still have a global sort of desperate need to vaccinate people. This is a vaccine that has been developed specifically for animals, right?
Yes, this was developed by Zoetis Laboratories, which is a specific manufacturer of veterinary pharmaceuticals and biologicals. And it was developed to vaccinate mink because they're extremely susceptible to this virus and have an even slightly higher mortality rate than humans do. So, yes, this is a veterinary product. It was developed similarly.
So, okay, so now I am trying to picture how you get a gorilla to get a shot. I mean, like, it's hard to get a kid to take a shot when they don't want one. How are zookeepers getting wild animals, big, strong, often dangerous wild animals, to take a shot?
Yes, well, fortunately, they're also very good at training. And so our zookeepers, in concert with our curator of animal behavior and our veterinary technicians, they've all worked very hard to get these animals trained.
What does that look like?
To present a shoulder, present a hip for an injection. So it's all done with positive reinforcement. So they call the animal over and have it, you know, for a food reinforcer, for a treat. They are conditioned to put their shoulder up or put their hip up. And it's remarkable how quickly they have learned to do this. And then you start with a syringe, you know, tapping it with your finger maybe, and then a syringe with no needle. And then you work up to a blunt needle, and then you work up to a real needle stick. And they've done fantastic. The amount of work they've done to accomplish this is really impressive.
So I'm a very snacks oriented person. What's the range of treats? I mean, what's an otter get? What's a monkey get? What's a lion get for a treat if they sit still for their shot?
Oh yes. Yeah. So there are lots of different treats, as you might imagine, that depending on the species. So a gorilla or other primate might want a grape or a banana slice or a piece of primate chow, whereas a lion or a tiger would want a piece of chunk horse meat or something like that. So you kind of tailor make it to what they like. Giant antlers love avocado. A giant antler will do almost anything for some avocado. So there's quite a range.
I'm loving the avocado toast image for the giant anteater. I think a lot of people can identify with that. Now, listen, this gives me great joy to talk about. I find zoo animals fascinating, this whole thing fascinating. There are some practical aspects to this, and I do have a couple other practical questions I want to ask you. The first is, you've used the actual word cats, right? These are zoo animals. I remember early in the pandemic, people wondering, can I pet my own dog or cat at home, and can I let someone else pet my animal, and can I give it to my house cat, and can it give it to me? If we're doing this in zoos, does that raise concern about domesticated animals and whether they need to be vaccinated?
Well, you know, that's something that the veterinary community has been following, and they have, of course, been testing domestic animals when they have come down with signs of coronavirus. There have been documented cases of dogs and cats who were in households where the humans in the household got coronavirus. And there have been documented cases where the pet animals actually did contract the virus and did shed the virus. But so far, we haven't seen a lot of morbidity and mortality in domestic animals from this virus. So while it seems to be a cause of morbidity and sometimes mortality in the exotic cats, so far, that hasn't been what we've observed in the pet animals. Of course, this is something that the veterinary community is going to be following very closely, because the situation is evolving with new variants and things coming out all the time. But fortunately, so far, the veterinary community has not been overwhelmed with cases of sick domestic animals from this virus.
We're talking to Dr. Chris Bonner, senior veterinarian at Zoo New England. So, Dr. Bonner, pretty much everything about the human coronavirus vaccination has become politicized. Is that true in the zoo animal world, too? Has it been controversial that you are vaccinating animals?
So far, not really. You know, we vaccinate lots of animals for lots of different things. Everything from West Nile virus, which, you know, came to this country about 20 years ago and has been a problem off and on since then, to things that we're much more accustomed to, like, giving the great apes when they're young, they get their DPTs and all, just like we do. And, these vaccines have never really been controversial or politicized. So the veterinary community has been pretty much right behind this right along.
Anything that you want listeners to keep in mind when they come to Stone Zoo or Franklin Park Zoo, now that they're more aware of sort of the risks to special and sometimes endangered animals around the coronavirus?
Well, we've been, very careful from the very beginning of this to make sure that our procedures and policies, you know, protect the animals in our care from contracting disease. So, you know, we have mask requirements for staff and for visitors who would, be indoors where our animals are. The great majority of our susceptible animals are, say, behind glass or are outdoors where the risk of transmission would be very, very low. And so we're about a third of the way through our vaccination, first set of vaccines, at least here for our animals. So we've been right along being very stringent in our use of social distancing and use of masks and other PPE and vaccines for our staff and other people. So we've been right on this from the beginning, and it should be very safe and effective for everyone.
All right, so go ahead and go to the zoo and see the animals. That is Dr. Chris Bonner. He is the senior veterinarian in Zoo New England's Animal Health Department. Dr. Bonner, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.